Ayo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox postgame show, presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. I am your host of the CHGO White Sox podcast, Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. And alongside me, as always, is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. He's the CHGO White Sox community leader. You can follow us on Twitter at CHGO_White Sox. Later on in the show, Vinny Duber will be joining us live from Guaranteed Rate Field. He is our CHGO White Sox beat writer. We appreciate everybody already flooding in the chat. Make sure to like when you guys are joining and commenting. Nice to see all the familiar names in here. You know what the show is about because you all watched the game. It is the final nail in the coffin, as Oz said. We thought it was last night, but man, Guardians really want to make sure this thing's really just locked in, just really dead.
They're lighting a match right now, and they've already, you know, put us and lowered us in 6 feet under. They're lighting a match, and then tomorrow with Bieber, they're going to light that shit on fire and make sure the White Sox are incinerated.
I predicted Luis Castillo to throw the no-hitter. I think Shane Bieber might do it tomorrow. The White Sox lose 8-2 tonight, and it wasn't really an ass-beating, like an ass-taking, if that sounds a little weird.
That sounds, yeah.
But, like, right. You know, it just felt like the White Sox just kind of gave up. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, I'm you know, yeah, fine. Whatever.
Yeah, you guys are going to beat us, so go ahead and get it over with. Beat us up, and then we'll take our punishment. Whatever you guys can do to us, fuck it. We don't care. Started right in the first inning. Lance Lynn is inducing the ground balls that you need. And from the first inning, Yoan Moncada waits back on a Rosario. Like, Rosario's fast. Everybody knows this. Mm-hmm. Waits back. Kind of casually waits back for it. I thought he was doing that so he could just get a quick out at second, get Stephen Kwan out at second, who started the game off with a single. But no, he tries to throw it to first, and Rosario's got way too much speed for you to hang back. He had a really tough first inning. Then you see the rocket shot by Jimenez later in the game, or later in that inning, goes right off of Yoan's glove, you know. And then later in the game, Yoan and Andrew Vaughn almost collide again. Andrew Vaughn drops the ball, an error on him.
Can I add one, too?
Oh, yeah.
Moncada in the first inning, he hit a ball that I think Rosario was ranging to his left towards the second base line, or not second base line, but just towards the second base area, basically up the middle, and Moncada's walking to first, not even running, and you saw Rosario bust his ass down the line in an infield hit. He beat it out. Moncada, who is fast, who, you know, was a five-tool player when he was coming up, just doesn't want to run today.
And then I forgot about the bases loaded, double play opportunity. McConaughey gets the ball at third, steps on third, and then it's a slower runner going down. I think it was Oscar Gonzalez going down the line. He had plenty of time to get the job done with a strong throw, but he tries to underhand it. I don't know if he's trying to look fancy. He's trying to hot dog it, but it short hops Jose Abreu, and yes, some might say Jose should have scooped that, but it's a tough play anyways. You don't need to put your first baseman in that type of situation. And I know Yoan is a better player than this, and this is why I'll go hard on him. The top of the first is inexcusable. It is a bad representation of who he is. Now, home run later in the game, awesome. That's what we need him to do.
Bomb. It was an absolute bomb.
This is unacceptable defense from Yoan Moncada. If you're not going to hit, you better field every goddamn ball, and you better field it the way you're supposed to. Take the short hop away. Understand the situation with Rosario. Understand who's going down the line when you got that double play in order and it's Oscar Gonzalez. And you have plenty of time to throw the ball on a line right to Jose's glove. We saw Elvis Andrus do a jump, a Derek Jeter-esque or Tim Anderson-esque jump throw from deep in the hole at shortstop, hit in the back of Jose's glove. Not in the ground. If you hit that on the ground, people would understand, but that's what it takes, the concentration, the focus, the actual work to be an elite third baseman. He should be an elite third baseman by now. He is not. Right now, he is struggling mightily. This is a failure of a season for Yoan Moncada. He needs to get better himself. Dedicate this offseason to being better. Whatever he needs to do. He could still do his bachata. Whatever he wants to do is rap. I'm not saying not have fun, but this is his vocation. This is the thing that he needs to do for Yoan Moncada to hit his potential, because there's nothing worse than a person you know has more talent right now. And him coming way short of that talent. He's falling way short. And it's on him, not on the White Sox training staff, not on the coaching staff, on Yoan Moncada to become that five-tool player again, to become that top five third baseman that he almost was last year. So, yeah, he had a horrible game, and it was evident today. I don't know if he gave up, but it felt like it.
He had a horrible game, but also, again, the White Sox, if he wasn't on the team, would be losing 8-1. Because, again, he's got the one home run. So at least he made up for it. I mean, this sucked. This game sucked. I mean, I want to tell you about this ass-kicking. Do we have the Tristan McKenzie graphic ready? So Tristan McKenzie threw 23 called strikes. That is the second most, tied for the second most, that the Sox have seen this entire year. Shane Bieber back on July 12th had 24. Brady Singer had 23 back on August 9th. Tonight, McKenzie had 23. And a called strike plus whiff percentage of 46%. Makes me want to puke.
Oh, my God.
That is absolutely just a team giving up. That's a team not wanting to be there tonight. We didn't see a lot of balls that made us get up. It was a lot of ground ball theater tonight from the White Sox. A lot of strikeouts. When I saw Tristan McKenzie on points bet at 5.5 for his over-under at money. Plus money for the over, I slammed that, put $10 on it, and I won $20 and 50 cents. It's just easy money, and I didn't expect it to be, you know, because the White Sox gave up, but they gave up today. I mean, absolutely. If they were striking out and maybe, you know, like, you would see some signs of life there if the White Sox were trying. Strikeouts don't mean much because there was a close game when he struck out 14. But this team, I mean, from the first inning on, the only person that was trying, it looked like Jose Abreu and then Elvis Andrus. But outside of that, not really many of them showed up to the plate or showed up to task.
And another,
I don't want to blast Lance Lynn either. He wasn't great, but I mean, his team, the defense behind him was poor, which is always us.
And I want to talk about another player who is falling off the table from where the heights of this season was. And it's Andrew Vaughn. I don't know what happened. He used to have a pretty standard, pretty solid strike zone. Balls he used to swing at, balls he used to let go. Now he's nose to toes. He can swing of those high fastballs and whiff right through them. He is not the player he used to be. And maybe it's because another year, this is another year breaking through that wall of however many games he's played in his career. This is the longest that he's ever played in his career, either be college or professional. So he's breaking through that wall, and he's probably getting tired. But his at-bats can be better. Even if you're tired, you can give a better effort. And today, I didn't see great effort from him either. So I'm calling out players individually because I know they can be better. I won't call out Lurie Garcia if he was in the lineup because he is who he is. I'll call him out if he makes an error or a dumb play where the baseball IQ is lacking. But Andrew Vaughn can be a better player than he is right now, and he's not showing it. The not calling off Yoan Moncada, or I don't know what the communication is right there. It's infuriating still to this day
that we're
100-plus days, 140, 145 games in, and we're not communicating. And I looked at the Cleveland Guardians. Literally had the same type of play. Jimenez is going out to outfield. Miles Straw calls him off. Jimenez stops in his tracks, and peels off. So Miles Straw doesn't have to worry about the guy in front of him. Relax, caught the ball in mid-center field. That's how you do it. The Cleveland Guardians don't beat themselves because they're well-taught, they're well-coached, and they communicate with each other. Different languages there with Miles Straw and Jimenez in their native tongues, they still communicate and they get the job done. That is the team that the White Sox should be with a little bit more power. I love the Cleveland Guardians. I ain't afraid to say it. They are a well-oiled machine and a team that plays the game correctly. The White Sox are an embarrassment.
You see the Twins get their ass kicked by the Yankees playoff series after playoff series, right? Because they're just the joke of a franchise. They're the weird-ass Minnesota Twins. The Guardians are a well-oiled machine. And even if they don't do well in the playoffs and advance past the first round, that's just because the AL is very difficult.
Yeah.
That's because they're going up against a six seed that has Luis Castro and Robbie Ray as their first two aces. I mean, that's just a difficult matchup. But well-oiled machine, a difficult out, absolutely. And I think it would be difficult even if they get swept. Like, I think that they're going to give any team a heartbreak because or a headache because, you know, in the seventh and eighth innings and ninth innings, they're always going to give you a hard at-bat. every single ball in the outfield. They're going to try to take two on you. Every single base they can take, they will be there. I mean, Ernie Clement on that game-winning run he had or game go-ahead run against the Twins was brilliant. From second on a pass ball, he scored because he was just anticipating that pass ball. He didn't hesitate going around third base. They know how to run bases. Every person on their team knows how to run a base. Picking the White Sox that know how to run bases, I think it's probably AJ Pollock is decent at it. And then I think Jose Abreu is pretty decent at it. Like, I mean, he's always been, you know, fairly, especially for a first baseman, fairly, feasible out there.
But you said it earlier with Yoan Moncada walking down the line. This was established in the early season where the White Sox organization told players they don't have to go all out. They don't have to go all out to first base. Don't get injured. But as I was taught in high school, as many of you who are watching and listening were taught, when you go half-ass, that's when you get hurt. When you're timid, you're tentative, that's when you get hurt. When you go all out, that's when if you train to go all out, you can go all out. But this is the thing where the White Sox struggle at, is keeping their players healthy, and then the message is, hey, you don't have to go 100%, and then that filters through. Okay, I don't need to go 100%. These games don't count in May or June. Oh, we got to go all out now in September? Right. Oh, man, the Cleveland Guardians are just way too good for us. Cleveland is just good. They're going all out all year long. They saw the White Sox in their sights and like, okay, you guys think you're the best. You guys think you're running the AL Central. Won it by 10 games last year. Congratulations. That's last year. This year, we're taking that title from you because we want it. We're hungry for it.
There's a lot of comments I want to get to. Talking and Grubbing Media said, I could be wrong, but maybe the White Sox came and or White Sox fans came into the season believing their own hype. The White Sox did. They told you that. Commenter. But, I mean, yeah, the White Sox fans bought into it because it's what the White Sox were telling you. The White Sox were talking so much shit. The White Sox fans, especially with their payroll, I mean, they're the seventh highest payroll in baseball. I want to go to Jarrett's Super Chat because it kind of goes into that. Jarrett follows with the Super Chat. Thank you very much for the $5 Super Chat. Han was smart to not waste prospects. That's just an infactual. Han was smart. I don't think you could say that. I'm surprised.
An oxymoron, right?
His phone didn't autocorrect that. Han was smart to not waste prospects during the deadline. Had to know that this team is hollow, low effort, and in need of an enema. I don't know about that. I totally understand your point.
Yep.
But what he always said after that was he believes in this team, and he was frustrated that he couldn't get a deal done. I didn't buy that. I think he could have gotten a deal done. I just don't think that. I don't know. That's a tough thing because I think he believed in this team. Do you think he believed in this team?
He had to because he didn't make any goddamn moves in the offseason to improve the team that lost to the Houston Astros last year.
And you put $112 million on this team.
Yeah, and then you bring back Lurie Garcia as if he is a solution to the second base / right field. He doesn't play anymore. Lurie Garcia does not play anymore. He has 2 years left on the contract. That's inexcusable. Rick Hahn has failed, and I got it. People like Rick Hahn. He smiles. He's good with the media. No, he is a failure. This rebuild, this whole thing is a failure. This team will not come back next year and all of a sudden be good. They won't be the team that we wanted them to be. They're getting a year older. And I saw somebody said you shouldn't have gave them money early. It's like, what does that have to do with anything? I understand people think they get relaxed and lazy and such like that, but that's an old garbage trope. This, the reason why Rick Hahn signed these players, the reason why you get all the players that you had back in the day for cheap is because then when you have a chance to pounce, you have cost control and cost certainty with the rest of the roster. And so whatever you need, you can supplement it in the free agent market if you didn't do good drafting or development. They had second base. They had right field available, and they did nothing to address those positions. They said, well, Gavin Sheets and Andrew Vaughn will come back. And I saw somebody caping for Andrew Vaughn. He's not an outfielder. He's an outfielder now. He's been in the outfield for two damn years. If he's not an outfielder, then he needs to be cussed out himself. That's where you're playing. Have some pride in where you're playing. I understand that you didn't start as an outfielder, but goddamn it, right now you're an outfielder. If Jose Abreu comes back next year, you're an outfielder. You're an outfielder until the White Sox say you're not. So until the day that you get into a DH slash first base position, have some pride. Take some pride in the craft that you're doing out there in left field. Have some communication with Yoan Moncada or the shortstop. I don't have any more excuses for Andrew Vaughn. Catch that goddamn ball. Call off your infielder. No more excuses. Yes, the Rick Hahn, Kenny Williams thing has failed you. But goddamn it, you're in the outfield now. Go to work and do some good stuff out there.
I understand your point, but I don't want to put this all on Vaughn just because I think a lot of his issues are just, he kind of encapsulates the White Sox issues as a whole. Calling up players way too quickly and having them kind of just fail because you're putting him in a position to fail. Andrew Vaughn should not be an outfielder. Andrew Vaughn should have played more games in the minor leagues. I think he would have been more prepped, and I think that you could have... I mean, he clearly plays DH very well. He hits better when he's a DH. But you see, last year he was walking. This year he's not walking. That's the team's issue. He's chasing more now. I think he's becoming more anxious at the plate, and he's trying to, you know, he's feeling that pressure. He's feeling, you know, that pressing that the team is as well. Like, I just think that he's not in a great position. I think if you took Andrew Vaughn and put him at first base in a completely different franchise, he would have at least an above average major league career. But I think playing a guy in the outfield can kill his confidence. And the fact that you don't have an actual staff to help him. I mean, we talk about Daryl Boston and Joe McEwing and all of these guys surviving coaching regime after coaching regime. Like, I don't know. I just think that the White Sox have always had this issue. The White Sox have always done something like this. They've always ruined their prospects. Gordon Beckham said, I probably needed to go down to the minors at some point. Andrew Vaughn's not at that point yet. He's still treading water well. And I think if you put him at the DH in 2023, I think he'd be fine. But again, I just don't think they have the prospect field down. And that's why I think they're trying new things like Project Birmingham.
Let me ask you a question. Do you bring Jose Abreu back next year?
It's tough decisions. We said that with Eloy Jimenez. We said that with Andrew Vaughn, and we said that with Jose Abreu. Like, clearly, like, I think the easiest thing would be like trade Gavin Sheets. But you and Taney always said deals have to hurt.
Yeah,
when you do it. So I think the White Sox
for Gavin Sheets
might be better off just saying at this point they need to get younger. Right. I mean, you look at Andrus as their shortstop, Harrison's their second baseman, Grandal and Zavala aren't that young at catcher, especially Grandal with his back injuries, Pollock in left field. I mean, like, this is an older team, and they got old pretty quickly. Johnny Cueto, Lance Lynn kind of holding down that staff. All of that youth that was there in 2019 got really old really quickly, and all of those guys have regressed. Like, Luis Robert's supposed to be the young star. Luis Robert's not starting tonight. Eloy Jimenez, he got a day off today, right? No, he was in the lineup.
Yep.
He can't play an outfield position anymore. And he's been dealing with so many injuries. Tim Anderson, I mean, he's been great, but then he's dealing with this injury, not able to help the team. And he's getting closer to 30. Yoan Moncada, same thing. I mean, clearly he's having so many issues just, you know, being there and being at the game and focusing. So
that's the reason why I brought you is Jose Abreu come back. If he is coming back, you need to get rid of both Andrew Vaughn and Eloy Jimenez, both of them, because none of them can play the outfield.
Right.
And we're going to have excuses. People making excuses. He's not an outfielder. Well, goddamn it, he's playing in the outfield.
But that's not his fault.
It is his fault.
No, that's Rick Hahn's fault.
No, it's initially Rick Hahn's fault, but if you're a professional, go out and do your job.
Go out and do your job. I'm not saying you're wrong about that. I think that Andrew Vaughn, clearly, the White Sox have an issue with calling off one another. Whether it's Andrew Vaughn, whether it's AJ Pollock, whether it's the infielders, that's a White Sox issue. And like I said, he just encapsulates or, you know, kind of some just surmises all of the White Sox issues. Like, he doesn't call off outfielders. He takes bad routes. Misses cutoff bands. Like, I mean, like, there's a lot of issues with Andrew Vaughn, but I think if he had better coaching, he seems like a guy that can be coached up. He seems like a guy that gives a lot of effort. He's always running. He doesn't run fast, but he's always running as fast as he can. Like, I think there's a lot of a good baseball player in there. I just think that he's not getting the right coaching. And like I said, like, I think if you put him at first base or DH in 29 other organizations, he's going to be above average. It's just the White Sox are known to killing prospects and killing players, and they're doing it again with Andrew Vaughn. He didn't look this bad when he was a rookie. They're just breaking him.
This team needs to change, and it can't change unless you tell Jose Abreu, hey, man, it's been real. We don't want you, which is never going to happen. If he wants to come back, he's coming back. And if that happens, I'm all arms, and I want him back, but then you have to trade Aloy and Andrew Vaughn to get this team to be better, to be more diverse. You see, when Cleveland has their infielders or people where they need to supplement the outfield, Miles Straw doesn't hit well. Mm-hmm. But two things he does well is run fast and catch balls out in center field. You saw the deep catch he made today deep in the hole. That's because Miles Straw is a great outfielder. They saw him in Houston. They said, hey, you know what? He can't hit, but you know what? He can play center field for us because we have a position out there where we've been throwing a couple people out there and it's not working out well. I don't care if Miles Straw can hit or not. He can catch. Let's put him out there. Same thing with Framil Reyes. You're not doing the job. Cool. We got a guy down there and Oscar Gonzalez doing the same thing you can do. He's not a great outfielder. You see that. But he hits. He overhits his bad fielding. We don't see Andrew Vaughn and or Gavin Cheats overhitting their bad fielding.
Sure.
So this is the thing. The White Sox need to trade some of these outfield DH types to get better outfielders out there. I always put it to the Carlos Lee, Scott Pasetic thing they did in 2005 with Luis Vizcaino coming alongside with the trade there. Just knowing that, yes, Andrew Vaughn might be an all-star eventually. Same thing with Eloy Jimenez. But they don't fit on this team where we have a bunch of them on it. And they don't, and Eloy Jimenez doesn't stay healthy enough. And Andrew Vaughn, while had a good early start of the season, has fallen off the table ever since, and his defense is not getting any better.
Well, with your points with like Gonzalez, like I just think like it means different or more with Vaughn just because he was a top three pick. Like I just think that there is clearly talent in there, and the fact that you're putting him in a position where he's just not fast enough to play. I think it's just a disservice to the player. I don't know. And you're right though that he needs to out hit what he's doing in the outfield. I don't disagree with
you. He's like a 0.4 war this year. It's because he cannot field, and his hitting is falling off the table.
But you'd think a franchise would notice that and say, hey, maybe we should start putting him in the outfield. But again, like you said, like there's too much of a log jam here.
Yeah, that's what I feel. So I hope the White Sox don't go back and say, hey, this is just run this back, because it's an incomplete team that will do similar things next year. They'll play not smart baseball next year, too, if they have to bring Aloy back, Andrew Vaughn, Abreu, and Gavin Cheats. It's a lot of people who can not play a lot of positions for four positions and then keep on interchanging them.
If the White Sox continue to play bad baseball and dumb baseball in 2023, I will continue to be sad, which thankfully Green Ridge Farm exists to make me happy. Green Ridge Farm is a Chicago local meat and cheese company offering you a better all-natural option. They're the makers of all-natural deli meat sausages and their famous meat sticks. If I won't come out of my room because the White Sox, don't make the playoffs for 2 days and you guys need me for a show on Monday, just say, hey, Sean, got you some meat sticks. Come out, we'll get you some meat sticks in you and you'll be ready to go. And it's probably the truth. Meat sticks can bring me out of my darkest days.
Really?
Yeah. We met our guy, Jack Kwiatkowski, who's said Vinny. Wanted to let Vinny know that he was going to be very, very sad after last night's loss. And we saw Jack today. Walking into the game. And, I think Jack, especially after a loss like this, probably needs some meat sticks. They're delicious because they're made from recipes generations in the making. And being all natural, they deliver a fresh and flavor alternative at snack time. You can always find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, Sam's Club, or in your local Chicagoland grocery store. And right now, when you order three or when you order any three meat products at Green Ridge Farm and include a pack of meat sticks in your cart, those meat sticks will be free simply by using code CHGO at checkout. So right now, when you order any three meat products at greenrichfarm.com and include a pack of meat sticks in your cart, those meat sticks will be free. So you are getting something that will make you happy for free simply by using the code CHGO at checkout. Thank you to Green Ridge Farms for supporting us, mainly because we eat your delicious meat sticks each and every day. We also want to give a shout out to FOCO. They have fantastic bobbleheads on their site. If you want some City Connect uniforms, we saw those in person finally on Tuesday. That was nice to see. You can check out FOCO.com, F-O-C-O. FOCO has the best apparel for your fan, your White Sox fan in your life. They have the best slippers, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. So get decked out with your favorite apparel for your favorite teams. And if you're looking for the football fan in your life, they got hoodies to fight that Lake Michigan breeze. We felt it a little bit tonight, and it's going to get down to about 54, I think Steven said. So it's hoodies and shorts, sweatshirts. So check out FOCO.com or click the link in the description below. And for all non-presale items, use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. Again, check out FOCO, FOCO.com, or click the link in the description below. And for all 9 presale items, use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. They have a Dallas Keuchel bobblehead on FOCO. So go check that out, and maybe that will make you happy, just like the meat sticks from Green Ridge Farm make me happy. Let's go out to Guaranteed Rate Field and talk to the CHGO White Sox beat writer, Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter, at Vinny Duber. His most recent piece was posted last night at like 2:30 a.m. Vinny, how'd you recover after last night's very, very long game?
You know, you get a good night's sleep, you go to the beach, it's all ancient history, so we're good.
Nice. How, nice beach day. You finally got one in before, like I said, it's going to get down to 54 tonight.
Gotta squeeze every last ounce out of summer, and now it's apparently going to be fall tomorrow. So good thing we went today.
Yeah, what's that shirt, Vinny?
I've got a shirt on of Mount Rainier National Park. How about that?
I'm almost blue a couple weeks ago. Actually, it was a false start there with the Mount Rainier, and the people out there in Seattle thought there was like a little smokestack above it, but it was just a cloud. So it's a great shirt. Did you go out to Mount Rainier when you were out in Seattle area?
I have not been. It's on my to-do list. Sometimes you have to buy the shirt before you actually get to go to the place.
Beautiful land out there. The White Sox, man, Vinny, it's just so depressing. We're out there again today, courtesy of Game Time. Thank you very much, Game Time. And it felt like fewer people were in attendance and the crowd was kind of subdued. And I felt the players kind of built off of that. And, it's disappointing for us yesterday how they lost, but did you talk to the players and how they felt today went? Because I could just say, just anecdotally, that, you know, that first inning felt deflating for us, and it looked like the players felt the same.
Yeah, I mean, they played awful. Mm-hmm. I think you could see it in the way that they were going about things out there tonight. Now, is it a factor of last night really having an impact on today, or is it a factor of that first inning was miserable from a defensive standpoint, and that puts the whole sour stamp on the whole game? Then you get Tristan McKenzie going out there and just carving them up. It could have just been one of those days where the game that they were playing made them, kind of lifeless as opposed to the game that they played last night. But that being said, pretty much the only people who are still talking about there being season left and games left to play are the ones who are wearing White Sox uniforms, because I think all you got to do is look at the numbers, look at what's going on and say, it's done. It's over. So,
hey,
Sean doesn't think so. Sean's got a big rally coming up. What's going on?
I read Vinny Duber's piece at allchgo.com last night, and he said FanGraphs playoff odds had them at 1.7%. ESPN right now has them at 2.2%. So they've gone up at 0.5%.
Well, that's current? They were at 6% last night, Sean. Or maybe that was coming in. That might have been coming into yesterday.
Okay, I thought it was 1.7.
That might have been as of Monday night.
But the reason is because the Rays lost. So the Rays have lost three straight.
I don't know. Whatever. I know, wrote it, didn't I? I'm sure it's right on there. I looked at FanGraphs, so that's what it said.
I'll check it. Don't worry. But
check FanGraphs. Don't check my thing.
Where was I going with this?
Your faith in the White Sox making the playoffs.
Oh, but the Rays have lost three straight. That's... So I mean, they still technically have kept the door open for the Sox.
No. The White Sox haven't won.
I'm just saying, like, mathematically.
Marking games off the calendar.
We put the nail in the coffin last night, and tonight is not saying that they have uncorked any of those nails.
The number for the Rays marks off the calendar when the White Sox lose, too. So they get games off the calendar, too. So their magic number is going down versus the White Sox, too. Our only hope in is your convoluted White Sox have to go undefeated until the end of the season, and the Rays got to lose like every single game ever. It's not going to happen, Sean.
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Give it up.
All right, whatever. did Lance? I know Lance Lynn's very kind of, you know, short with his answers after his starts. Did he mention anything with the first inning defense?
I mean, he said what you'd expect him to say, that you know, yeah, that happens, and he's got to pitch around it and pitch better. I mean, listen, okay. the defense was bad today, no doubt about it, but. They didn't do it all on their own. Not like every run was unearned. You know, Lance Lynn gave up 9 hits tonight. And yeah, some of those were the cause of the defense not being so great. But, you know, he gave up a home run. He gave up 9 hits. He got hit. The Guardians did their thing. The Guardians did what they do, which is they don't take the foot off the gas pedal. They keep running around the bases constantly and gets them runs. I mean, you've got to stop that from happening if you're the team that they're playing against. The White Sox couldn't do it, whether it was with the glove or with Lance Lynn's arm. I mean, you know what I mean? You don't want the Guardians to get on first base and start zipping around the bases. Don't give up a hit. That's basically what's going on. And listen, there's one team out there who looks like they're fighting for every inch of it. And there's one team out there that looks like they've got a 1% chance of making the playoffs.
And Vinny, yesterday you were relaying the message that Miguel Cairo had came on with you guys and saying like it was his fault that he didn't get team ready. He was kind of, you know, not woe was me, but he was taking all the responsibility for the White Sox losing yesterday's game. How do you feel today after this game really got out of hand early?
He said they didn't play good. He was correct. I mean, it's he clarified those statements, not even clarified. He expanded on those statements earlier today and basically said what we got to last night, which was when you lose, it's the manager's fault. When you win, it's the player's fault. Basically is just kind of his philosophy more than it is a comment on what happened last evening in specific. He doesn't like to get too specific in these post-game moments. Yesterday it was us trying to ask him, well, why is this your fault? You know, did you do something that made – and he just said, nope, it's my fault we lost. Tonight he was like, we didn't play good. And people are like, oh, well, was there something specific? You know, what was with some of these plays? And he's like, no, we didn't play good. It was bad. We didn't deserve to win, kind of thing. So, now, to be fair, that's also true. They were bad in all facets tonight. If he was going to get specific, it might have gone on for a while, that post-game press conference. So, you know, they couldn't hit Tristan McKenzie. Whether that was his fault or their fault, it was the same result. They didn't do hardly anything offensively. We already talked about what Lance, you know, did on his end of things, too. And Jose Ruiz comes in and gives up a 2-run homer. I mean, you know, it was a team effort of a loss, I think. And, you know, what came to mind watching the Guardians tonight was a team that never let up, right? The last two nights, obviously, a team that never stops. And Tim Anderson, after 2020, you know, right before spring training of 2021, he was on a podcast, I believe, with Chuck over at NBC, and he said, you know, we need to have that dog in us. We need to come out and have a whoop-em attitude kind of thing pretty close to what he said. He used a little bit more colorful profanity in there that I'm not going to go with right now. But he did. I don't think you're going to want to repeat that one either. But the point being, he said what the White Sox were trying to do to be successful. And regardless of whether at any point in the last two seasons they believe they found that attitude, the Guardians sure have it. Mm-hmm. The Guardians sure have that attitude right now, and they're out there showing what a team with that attitude looks like and what they can do at the end of the season when it comes to, in this case, winning an AL Central championship, or when you get to a team, you know, way down the road, whether it's the Dodgers or the Astros or whoever, in winning a World Series. The Astros showed last year how big the gap is between the White Sox and the top teams in the league. Mm-hmm. What the Guardians are showing right now is how big the gap is between this very specific White Sox team and a team that is capable of winning and making the playoffs and being a winning team. The White Sox don't have it right now, and the Guardians are showing what they're missing in order to you know, be that team. The White Sox haven't done it, and so the White Sox are going to be sitting at home this year. They're not going to need to ask themselves why. They're going to know by watching the Guardians and saying, oh, well, we didn't play like that.
Did anybody – sorry.
Real quick, I want to give Vinny a lot of props on this quote, because this quote is great. Also, you didn't see the social video that we posted today, because I think I swore like 7 times in a minute.
Always. Again, I don't really have a problem with swearing. I'll do it. In this situation, I think the swear is one of, you know, I don't want to quite go all the way to the edge on the cliff here. Come on.
He's in his beat.
Oh, I know he is. I know, and he's in the hallowed grounds right now too. Mm. But Tim said it was too laid back. Anderson said of the team's attitude in 2020, talking to our Chuck Guyfine, which is Vinny, which was at his old job, on the White Sox Talk podcast. We need that dog in us. We need some. Let's go out here and whoop these MFers. We need that type of attitude versus, like, are we going to win today? No. Let's go out there and whoop them. It might be 10-0 in the first. Let's keep going. That type of winning, not just feeling around and see what happens from the first inning. Let's go. I think it's great because what's the reaction when Josh Naylor hits his home run? Cheers, because mainly Guardians fans were the only ones being vocal at that time. But you heard some Sox fans being like, oh, God. And Naylor's running around first with his finger going up. Do you know who hates that, or who hated stuff like that? When the White Sox were winning, when the White Sox were doing that to other teams. Like, that's a great callback, Vinny, because Josh Naylor is embodying that 100%. He is kicking the White Sox ass at every chance that he can get. And White Sox fans hate him for it because they have that whoop 'em attitude. It's a great thing. I mean, literally in their own division, they are getting it taken to by their own attitude. And maybe that's because Tim's not there and he's been, I mean, that absence is being felt in that way.
They're out there stealing bases in the 7th and 8th inning.
I mean,
they've got a 6-run lead. I mean, this is a team that you know, what have the White Sox said about this Guardians team the last few days? They play the game the right way. There you go. I'm not saying that you know, that the White Sox are a bunch of, you know, nobodies, that they can't do anything and they're never going to do anything because they don't, you know, go first to third enough, but I'm just saying if they looked like that, they would have the look of a team that is hitting the gas at the right time of year to get into the postseason. That's what the Guardians look like, and I mean it as a compliment to Cleveland, because they deserve it. They're playing that way. The White Sox don't look like that. And so if you wonder why there are 6 games separating the White Sox, who are supposed to run away with this division, from the team that's in first place, that's a big reason why.
Yeah, and what you're saying, Vinny, it resonates with me. Sometimes motivation, sometimes, you know, mindset has to be right for you to overcome something that seems impossible. I mean, Cleveland, if you looked at them on paper before the beginning of the year, same thing with Minnesota, you say the White Sox are clearly, and we all said it, national media, everybody who is a baseball person said the White Sox are a far superior team. But Cleveland didn't believe that. They thought they were the best team in this division. They probably have a mentality to think they are the best team in the AL. And I think they could do some damage in the playoffs. So a mentality has to change within the White Sox, because they have the talent there. And they just need to feel it and know that they are the best. And I'm glad that Cleveland's doing this to them and stealing bases late in the game. There's no clock in baseball yet until next year when we have the pitch clock. Keep on stealing bases. Run the score up. Embarrass the White Sox so they feel like, okay, that's where we need to go. There's the level. There's the marker. There's where we need to be. Let's go and get there. Let's get that same attitude as we should have had in 2021 and 2022. Now Cleveland is the team in AL Central we need to chase, and we need to get the same mentality that they have, because I did hate what Josh Naylor did early in the year. Now I look back, I'm like, man, wish we had a guy like that was hitting home runs in the 8th inning and extra innings and getting hyped up afterwards. So, yeah, mentality is big time into baseball. I used to not believe that, but Cleveland's proven me 100% wrong on that.
Well, you're playing 162 games, so you got to be up for every single one of them.
Yeah. I just thought that, you know, talent over 162 would take over. But
I think the White Sox thought that too.
Yeah.
Vinny, I want to ask you a little bit about Miguel Cairo, because you said it doesn't get too in-depth, but how does he feel like for the moment? I don't know if that's a stupid question, but you've covered, I think, 3 other managers, Tony, Ricky, and a little bit of Robin. I could be incorrect about that. But how does he compare? I mean, does it feel too big for him, or does he kind of feel like he fits with the job well?
I mean, I think he's doing a fine job. I don't think you can point to anything. I mean, Herb, you've talked about it a million times. I think I am probably pretty well in agreement with you that, you know, the player's got to go play. And I don't know how much there is that the manager makes a huge difference. Obviously, it's going to happen, you know, for better and for worse over the course of a very long season. But in general, you know, I don't think you can necessarily judge someone by, you know, watching them in the game and be like, oh, what are they doing now? How are they handling this game? You know what I mean? It's like you make the move. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. The players are going to be the determining factor of the outcome. That being said, I mean, I think he's thrilled to have this opportunity. I think he is a guy who brought a much needed spark. I don't know how that would play out over the course of an entire season, because I think the contrast of you know, looking up from your phone and all of a sudden your manager's gone, and now you've got this different voice telling you, even if it was the same message, you got a different voice in there. I think that's really the benefit he's been. Who knows if that applies when there is not that other there that you have to kind of shift gear to, right? I mean, if he's the gear for the whole year, who knows? But I think certainly you got to be positive if you're a White Sox player, if you're a fan, on what he's been able to do. That being said, this is the players, and they've got to win these games. They've got to back him up, right? You know, if he were to come in here and they take off from there, well, it's because they listened and they went out and they started hitting and scoring and pitching and, you know, catching the ball. Now we're getting to the point where it's really kind of been either every other. Now there's a little losing streak here with these two games against Cleveland. You know, is the way they played tonight and yesterday a reflection of Miguel Cairo? No, I think it's probably a reflection of them not playing very well. But so, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would have a big enough sample size to compare him to the guys who had entire seasons to go ahead and set a tone. But I think his very brief tenure here, that's just a few weeks old, has been a positive one, because I don't think when he took over, we expected to be sitting here saying that they blew these crucial games. We expected to be sitting here saying that these games didn't matter. So, you know, it's interesting in that regard, but, you know, we'll see.
Well, I just kind of thought about, you know, 2023 and who might be managing this White Sox team. And, you know, there's lights going off in like the bathroom hallway here in the office.
Are you freaked out?
Throwing me off, because I'm like, is someone in there right now?
No one's in there. It just turns off automatically. Sean's freaked out by a ghost.
Freaking me out. But I really think Miguel has been a welcome sight for sore eyes here. And I've been talking, you know, just with Herb and people in 108 when we were at the two games, and just, I think Miguel Cairo, I wouldn't be upset if the White Sox end up hiring Miguel Cairo after 2023 if Tony La Russa is not able to be the manager. I know that hasn't been confirmed or anything like that. You know, Tony's still up in the air about possibly returning in 2022. But if they do go away from Tony and they are looking to have a managerial search, I wouldn't be upset if they go through that managerial search and end up hiring Miguel Cairo, just because he does have a good pedigree. I like his playing career. And clearly, I mean, it seems like, you know, from what you're saying, it seems like he deals with the media well enough. And I think that this spark, he's able to do this for a team at least once. I mean, I think that he could possibly do it in another environment. So I'm just thinking 2023, because, you know, the White Sox probably aren't going to have a very eventful rest of the 2022 season here with 13 games left.
I would say that if they do find themselves in the position where they are going to be looking for a new manager for this team, he would almost certainly be a candidate. You know what I mean? Just because, right, I think he's done enough to earn that title. You know, whether that means that he would beat out everybody else, I don't know, or whether it means they liked what they saw so much that they don't need to go looking for anybody. But they've done that in the past, and that has not necessarily yielded the best of results.
Yeah, and I did think we do have a super chat kind of along those lines. It was from a stupid donkey saying, didn't the Sox sign Ventura the same year Francona signed with Cleveland? No, you stupid donkey. Robin Ventura was 2011. Terry Francona was 2012. So it was the year after. Terry was still with the Red Sox and won a World Series in 2011, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
You got that? I know that Robin was hired for 2011, and the collapse of 2012 was on him.
04, 07, and 11. And there was another super chat here. No? Okay, cool. All right. Other than that, Vinny, I think we're it. Any other injury news that we should know about? Luis Robert not in the lineup tonight, but I know that they're just kind of managing him day to day.
Yeah, I mean, I think Robert is going to be this for the rest of the season. I even asked Miguel if they would consider shutting him down, if there's a point where they would consider shutting him down. And he kind of was like, what do you mean? Like, we've got games to win. Why would we shut down Luis Robert kind of thing? So there's that.
Do you think it could be a Tim situation where, you know, if we don't have a date on when Tim could return, do you think, like, if the White Sox do get eliminated, then they could shut him down then? I mean, probably Miguel doesn't know that.
Well, I will say this. I know we talked about that with Tim Anderson, just kind of speculating last night. Miguel Cairo was asked, is Tim Anderson going to come back this season? Is there a situation in which he wouldn't? And he said, absolutely not. He is coming back this season. Okay. Now, they don't know when, and there are only 13 games left, but he said absolutely Tim will be playing before the end of this season.
All right. I mean, that's odd. I mean, especially with Tim's comments about, like, this is my career. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's – we'll see how they handle it. I mean, I think if they lose again tomorrow against Cleveland, definitely a lot of decisions that they'll have to make there. But, Vinny, thank you for joining us from Guaranteed Rate Field. You can follow Vinny on Twitter, @VinnyDuber. He's the CHGO White Sox beat writer.
See you guys. Good night.
Good night.
You guys were talking about Miguel Cairo coming back, and on its surface, I have no problem with him coming back if Tony does not want to or can't come back in 2023. But also, it is such a White Sox move to hire from within there. And I know somebody said he's an outsider. He's not. He's been here for 2 years now. He's a White Sox. And this is what they do. They hire people that they're familiar with, that they know. The last time they did outside of the box type of hiring, a person that they didn't know previously was Jerry Emanuel. Now, results were varying, and most would say bad. But they need to do a thorough search for a manager. If Tony La Russa does not and cannot come back into 2023 and get the best candidate available, and Greg Jack and a lot of White Sox fans will look for Ozzy because that was successful. His years here with the White Sox, for the most part, thumbs up. Of course, 2005 World Series. But I would say cast a wide net. Have the person that you think can bring the most out of these players. And I think the best thing that managers do is control the clubhouse.
Right.
Make sure the message is the same. Make sure the players are up. Understand different philosophies in the psychology of a man, and understand that different players are going to react different to your leadership skills. So having Miguel Cairo, if he is that guy, at the end of the day, I will take it. But it's got to be, and we were talking to Pete Hand today, it's got to be a thorough search for the perfect manager to come in here. Man or woman, I don't care if they want to actually break the seal and have a woman in here that leads the way. It's finally time. We need somebody who can lead. And if whoever it is, I don't want it to be an insular hire unless Miguel Cairo is the best person for the job.
I think he might be. 17 years in the big leagues is a very, very long career. He played under a lot of different managers. And as we saw under that list, a lot of like known managers. And I think that you mentioned something about keeping that messaging the same. I think he did that. And he got the energy up. So I think guys weren't bombarded with a different message. They just heard it in a different tone, and it was a tone that they well respected. I think that even if it's not with the White Sox, Miguel Cairo definitely needs to be looked at some job for managing a team. Just because, I mean, he is young. I don't see why he's not as capable as, you know, Aaron Boone. I mean, I don't think managing an MLB team is that hard. So I think Miguel Cairo has proven enough here that, you know, he can manage a team. So
somebody in the comments was trying to kill James Baldwin.
Why?
I don't know. He said rip James Baldwin. I was like, he didn't die. I mean, we're talking about the great author, poet. Mm-hmm. Yes, that James Baldwin is currently not with us. But the White Sox great James Baldwin, him of the 2000 White Sox, who summarily got dismissed by the Seattle Mariners the last time. No, the year after was the last time the Seattle Mariner were in the playoffs. The 116-win Seattle Mariner. But that guy, as I checked it, he's still alive.
Hey,
our James Baldwin is still with us.
At least you're not, we're the White Sox fans. You won the AL Central and your team's not going to make it back to the postseason in 2021 and 2022. But at least you weren't the 116 Mariners who made the playoffs and then lost the next year, didn't make it in the postseason, and then had a 21-year drought.
Yeah.
Setting an MLB record and then not getting in there. The comments have been great all night. Shout out to Matt from Oakland. They have been hilarious. I do want to just note super chat where he said, "My bad, LOL." You're all good.
You have we to love apologize you. To us, stupid donkey. We're just joking with you. Good.
And it was both on October 6th, which I think was probably the confusion there. And if it did happen on the same day on 2012, it would be so White Sox. But also Terry Francona, that would also be, in a way, an insular hire. Because he was a minor league coach with the Sox.
He was. He managed the...
Mike Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. The Birmingham Barons down there when Michael Jordan, some guy, was down there hitting 222, which is still amazing to hit 222 or whatever he hit down there in the minor leagues.
It's crazy that that college basketball player who hit that shot in that national championship didn't do anything until 1994 when he popped up in the minor league baseball organization of the White Sox. Yeah. He just did nothing after North Carolina.
I don't know. That's the last time I saw him. Weird. Just playing minor league baseball for the Birmingham Barons. I don't know why those games were televised. It's weird.
I like LA Kimbo 11 saying Chris Widger for manager. Absolutely. We got to let you know why we're at the game today. Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. If you've ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could, either at the 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floors, seats at concerts, it's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you thought you could never buy. We got tickets in Section 113 with the White Sox for, what was that one? That one was
$39
total. $39.
Wait, no, $48 total.
$48 for today. Yesterday was $39. Yep. So we bought day of, about a half hour before, and got a better deal. So, like, but it says, you know, biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats. So
yeah, and the seats are always going to find a great deal. So, we had $348 in the club level, which are special seats. If you've ever been in the White Sox club level, you get to sit inside. Well, you get to sit outside. The inside, you have some nice bathrooms, your own concession stands. You don't have to go with the riffraff down there in the 500 or the 100 level. You can be special up there. We didn't go to those seats, but, you know, we had those. And then today, we were, like, three rows away from that guy in the first inning who made a sliding catch on the first batter versus Elvis Andrus. We were literally 10 feet away from that guy.
He almost Dustin Fowlered himself.
Yeah, it was so close. We were right there by the field. And if you watch the replay of the game later on tonight, I don't know what you would. Bottom of the first inning, watch the right fielder slide into the wall and look for Sean, Steven, and I in the crowd. We're like three rows back.
Herb got up and started yelling at the guy.
I said, "Give me the goddamn ball." He didn't give me the goddamn ball.
He did not. What was his name? Brennan.
Yeah. I said, "Brennan, give me the ball."
Will Brennan.
He did not give me the ball.
They have a Will Benson and a Will Brennan.
It was the first out of the inning.
Mark Tian. Hey, Mark Tian's popping up. Mark Tian popped up at the game. We were talking about 23s. Did you know Vince Velasquez is number 23?
I did know that he is. That's why I tell him to take it off every time I see him.
I forgot about that Mike Jordan guy. Yeah, very, very crazy. And then Mark Tian was brought up.
Should be retired for a certain number 23, Robin Ventura.
Mark Tian also deserves the honor.
T-Tam was not a good White Sox.
He was a great baseball player. He had, like Hawker used to say, he had that baseball face. Also, want to let you know, too, about CHGO. This is a fantastic, fantastic company, and we've tried to provide the best content for you fans. We are fans. We were sitting around our fans today in the 108. We were sitting in 113. Had a lot of sights to see. I loved the fan over in probably that must have been 115. The guy with the old school 83 jersey on and the red hat, and he was standing up trying to look for his friend out in the Goose Island section. Man could not see him.
And Sean's
looking everywhere
out.
But right field.
Sean's like, "He's right there. I know who you're going on. He's standing up, exactly who you're talking about." Yeah. And the guy's like, "Oh, yeah. He sees him finally." Yeah.
Like 5 minutes. Just absolutely brutal.
You're just killing White Sox fans in the comments. Stop killing White Sox. Hey, I know Yvonne Calderon's dead, but stop killing him.
Sky point for Yvonne C. Also, I want to give a shout out to Clark. We didn't see Clark at the game on
yesterday.
Tuesday. But I did see Clark's mustache on Twitter after the game. He did not need the Dylan Cease giveaway. That man's got a curly Q on there. He's got like the Raleigh fingers going. Oh, it's real nice. Clark really stepping out here with the mustache game. I mean, he's even competing with Vinny here.
And that profile pic, it looks like he's at Kauffman Stadium. It looks real nice.
Looks also like Wrigley, though.
Ugh, no. It looks like Kauffman Stadium. So, Clark, tell us if that's a... Kauffman Stadium, and sorry we did miss you at the game, because we would like to see everybody out there if we get a chance. So who we got to see today? Jack again, And then who was sitting behind us?
We saw Jack, and then we saw my guy Mike, Duck Central.
Duck Central, yeah. He loves you.
Thought he was supposed to be in the comments today flirting with me, but he's not here. So I'm pretty disappointed. I mean, it's been 50 minutes. Mike's not showing up, so what's going on here? And then who else did we see?
Your uncle.
Oh, we saw my aunt and uncle. Shout out to Dana and Pat. That was cool. I was walking in, and then I saw my aunt and uncle right there. I was like, hey, guys, what's up? I just grabbed him in the line. We were walking through the same gate. I thought we saw somebody else, too, no?
I mean, of course, all the people in the 108.
No, we saw the guy when we walked in after you got your elotes.
Yes.
When we were getting the fries.
Oh, he had the Moncada jersey on.
Yes.
Yes.
And he was telling me how Moncada sucked.
I mean, that's very true. Yeah, he said he loved the show. I forgot it. I don't want to mess his name up, but know that we appreciate you.
I want to say Tom because I thought it was White Sox Tom.
It sounds like that, Tom, yeah. So we appreciate anybody who recognizes us firstly. That's like a blows my mind every time when somebody says, hey, Herb. Today, they were like, hey, Sean. And Sean was like, what?
Me?
And it was Jack. It was Jack Kukowski who said what's up to him. So, it's always a weird thing. It never gets old when people say hi to you.
Local celebrity Herb Lawrence. So I always think people are going to yell out, hey, Herb, if they notice anybody from the podcast. Or hey, Steven from his work at the stadium.
Because you were wearing the CHGO beautiful shirt right there. I'm wearing the Ed Farmer Light It Up shirt. Rest in peace, since we're already RIP and people in the comments. Rest in peace, Ed Farmer.
Yes, RIP Farmio. White Sox legend in his own right in many different ways. Steven, can you show yourself on the broadcast right now? I mean, Steven's rocking the shirt too. So, I mean, Steven was the dead giveaway. I was wearing the CHGO shirt, but Steven's got the logo on his shirt.
The brawler socks.
He's got the brawler socks on there. So, this was supposed to be the CHGO ad. If you want to buy a sick-ass shirt, go to chgolocker.com. We have the brawler socks if you're looking for the shirt with our logo on it. We got the size C shirt. We got this little pocket shirt that I love. I love the little small design. We have the new black CHGO script that's going to be delivered soon here. They also have that one in red, which is a very classic look if you're talking about Mike Jordan. And there's also the new QB1 design. And if you love the Bears week one win, you'll also love the QB1 slide. Or is that the quarterback slide? That shirt was sick. It was the retro 8-bit part. Eric went off with that one. So if you want a sick ass shirt, check out check out chgolocker.com. And also you could check out allchgo.com. If you become a member there, you get access to Vinny's free writing and you get a free shirt along with it. So it's a great deal to sign up.
And we've been talking too at the game, and Sean brought up some great ideas about our off season shows, because we got to start thinking about the off season because fans, we're not going to make the playoffs this year. So we're off season's going to start on October 6th, I believe that is. So you people who are already in the Discord will be participating a lot. If you want, we'll be having some shows where we'll be doing some drafts like we did with the cereal draft, and I clearly won. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. And today I ate some delicious Reese's Puffs. Steven, in honor of your first pick.
So now you like the Reese's Puffs.
Oh, I've always loved the Reese's Puffs. You just had the first.
Should have voted for team one.
You had the first pick. But they have so many different Reese's Puffs. They had a thing called bats. So you just have the bat-shaped Reese's Puff. They just taste the same. And they didn't have it for my delivery today from Jewel. So they gave me Reese's Puffs clusters. It's just bigger Reese's Puffs that look like they're all clustered together. Still delicious flavor, though. Not as good, I don't think. Like, the ratio's off. Should get more of a ball like the regular Reese's Puffs. The ratio is perfect there because it seemed like I got more chocolate than I got peanut butter, and I like the ratio to be more peanut butter than chocolate. The Discord, the way you become a Discord member is become a member of All CHGO, or our whole thing here at CHGO Sports. So allchgo.com or PointsBet, $51 bet or more, you get a free year membership from CHGO, and you get a free t-shirt. So that, and then you get
sick ass deal.
You get access to our Discord. People in our Discord like Alex Rude, Champagne Dan is always doing some good stuff there.
Clark
is always in there talking some good stuff. We had a lot of people. Pale Holes Mike was back in the day. He's in there. So yeah, it's a small donation, and then for that $51, you can bet on the White Sox to lose. You'll win that money. Get that free CHGO membership, the Discord access, the free t-shirt. Such a deal, friends.
Especially when they're going up against Shane Bieber tomorrow. We will be having a pregame and postgame for you live at 6:30. We won't be going to tomorrow's game and after the game as well. We'll be live with you. But I think Shane Bieber is absolutely going to wipe the floor with them. Let's look at Tristan McKenzie's numbers real quick again, because I do think that this needs to be noted. So we love called strikes plus whiff, or at least I do, and I love dorking out at it. But this needs to be noted. Tristan McKenzie threw 100 pitches, 46 called strikes plus whiffs. What do you guys know? What have I been able to tell you about called strikes plus whiff? What does 46% tell you?
League average is 27. And so that is well above league average. It's exceptional.
Steven?
Herb's math checks out. So it's nearly 20% better than the average, which is why we got beat down today.
Absolutely. That's why that guy was able to be efficient. Do you guys want to play a game? We'll end on a little quiz.
I would love it.
All right, this is most called strikes plus whiffs versus the Sox in 2022 in a single game. Number one, we'll do top five here. Can we guess the best performances by called strikes plus whiffs in 2022 versus the Sox? Can we guess them?
I'm going to go with Tristan McKenzie.
Tristan McKenzie not only is one, but he is two. When he struck out 14 White Sox, he had 44 called strikes plus whiffs on August 19th, 2022. Tonight, 46 called strikes plus whiffs on September 21st, 2022. It was the 21st night of September, and Tristan McKenzie whooped your ass. I think that was the Earth, Wind, and Fire song.
Yes, it was.
Just ridiculous. So that was the one and two performances. Any other guesses for three?
Shane
and,
Bieber.
Four or five. No Shane Bieber.
Really? Because he had that one start where he just lit us up too.
In July, he had the most called strikes, but he didn't have the most whiffs. He had the most called strikes with 24.
I'm going to go with Daniel Lynch.
No. No, it's a good guess.
I'm going to go with Brady Singer.
There it is. Brady Singer, 40 called strikes plus whiffs. He's tied for fourth. There's two guys with 40 on May 17th. The Brady Singer game, 40 called strikes plus whiffs on May 17th. John Gray, Fred, coming in with John Gray, tied for fourth, 40 called strikes plus whiffs on June 12th, 2022. Was there another guess?
No, I don't have any more guesses.
Oh, Jack Kwiatkowski, though, jumping in. Good to see you, boys of the game. We're all enjoying the ride together very, very happily.
Kirk is going to say Bo Brisket Bo Brisket from the Detroit Tigers.
Not Bo Brisket. It's a Cy Young candidate.
Oh, was it Verlander?
Nope.
Then I'm going to go with Framber Valdez.
Nope.
I'm going to go with Shane McClanahan, Rue McClanahan.
Nope.
All right. Let's see.
Also an MVP candidate.
Okay. I'm going to go with Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani, 42 called strikes plus whiffs. What is this? June 29th? I can't read dates. June 29th. So, Tristan McKenzie is going to be a Cy Young against us for the rest of eternity. 27 strikeouts in his last 15 innings pitch, no walks.
Wow. He struck out a game's worth of players in two games. Oof. I mean, he has filthy stuff, and it looks like he's putting together that skinny frame I thought would not last a full season. And he's proven me wrong. He is doing the goddamn job. Kudos to Carl Willis, developing him, developing Shane Bieber. Even Cy Savale was looking great yesterday. So, goddamn it. We're going to have years and years of losing this Cleveland Guardians team to change their name and become winners.
I saw Clark mention something about the Cleveland's going to regress. I don't know if Cleveland's going to regress. I think they'll just probably win about like 83 to 87 games each and every year.
That's going to be enough.
And that's the thing. It's like, that's the White Sox crumbling. Elvis Andrews said, we know that the Guardians are going to crumble. You guys crumbled. You guys failed. You guys needed to sweep the Guardians. You are trying to fight off a sweep tomorrow. You crumbled. You failed. Every person in that organization, I know Andrews has been fantastic in his first 30 games, but everyone failed. And the fandom has been failed. This has just been a very, very, very sad season. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. He's the CHGO White Sox community leader. We'll be live with our pregame show previewing Shane Bieber versus Johnny Cueto at 6:30 live here on the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe, like the video, and hit the notifications so you know when we go live here on YouTube. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. I'm the host of the CHGO White Sox podcast. Thank you very much to Vinny Duber, who joined us live from Guaranteed Rate Field. He is our CHGO White Sox beat writer, and you can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. You can follow the account on Twitter, the CHGO White Sox account, at CHGO_White Sox. We also want to give a very, very big thank you to Steven Nicholas for producing the show today, and thank you to all of our great, great people in the live chat. White Sox Tom, John, SB, Fred, Edgar, Mike, Guy Clark, and obviously our guy Jack, too, who we saw live and in person.
Well, I'm thinking about this, like, we have a tailgate this Sunday. Shit.
Thank you.
And I'm going to be there. Sean's going to be there. I don't know if Steven's going to be here. He's going to have to probably be here to work and such.
I might need to be here too to work.
Pre-game. So I'm going to be there at least. So join us. The Bears are going to be playing. The Chicago football team will be playing the Atlanta Falcons. No, they'll be playing the Houston team.
The Chicago Bears.
I don't know if we can say the official names, but whatever. You know who the teams are. We'll be having a tailgate right there on Roosevelt and Michigan Avenue.
No. You're right.
Yeah, in Roosevelt and Michigan, we'll be having a food goddamn truck, some beers for you, $34.
That's sweet.
That is a sweet deal, guys.
It's a sweet deal, friends.
Just for food and drinks, man, with that ticket, awesome. 8 o'clock till noon. We'll be doing that, so go out there, get your tickets, hit the link right below right where you're watching right now. If you're either watching on YouTube or if you're listening on the podcast, it's a link right there that says, hey, go here to get your tickets for the tailgate that's happening on Sunday. Oh, it's going to be so great. I'm going to be drinking. I'm going to be eating. Somebody's going to challenge me to chug, and I'm going to beat them. It could be you. You could lose to me in a chug contest.
There you go. So if you want to bear down in the biggest and best party in the Windy City, go to allchgo.com and reserve your spot, or click the link in the description, like Herb said, for more info below. And also, again, $34 to get you in, all-inclusive. Should be fun. It's the first ever CHGO Bears tailgate, so that should be very, 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 very fun. And I'm saying that team name because that's the name of the podcast.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I think you get away with it because it's the name of the podcast.
I think we're good to say it.
Yeah.
I'm just, tentative.
The CHGO Blue and Orange Tailgate. The CHGO Monsters of the Midway.
I wonder, they had an embargo like the big game usually has.
When we were in
sports radio, we could not say Super Bowl. Hey, the Scores has the Super Bowl party for you. Nope, we'll have the big game on Sunday.
And you could not prepare to tussle as well.
No, you couldn't say the Michael Buffer words because he has lawyers all around the country listening for you to play that sound in particular, and you would have to pay money, which the Score has paid a lot of money to Michael Buffer for using his trademark sound. And if I say it here, I think I'll get sued by Michael goddamn Buffer.
Absolutely.
He's a good guy. He's like 70, but he has a lot of people out there.
And Brandon speaking the damn truth, saying it's literally on the wall behind you guys. Herb, look over your head.
I see it.
There you go. Super Bowl 20, my friends. 1985 was the greatest year of my life.
Saying it is bad.
January 26, 1986.
All right. I don't want to be sued, Brandon. I have little money.
Brandon is Michael Buffer's lawyer.
Okay.
We're going to end the show. Go White Sox. We'll talk to you tomorrow.